am I on?
Thank you for having church.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
Come on now. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming. Love you guys.
Love you too.
I'm excited. Thank you for being here. Hey, we got Dominic and Danielle. Love these guys. We've known Dominic for almost 20 years. And I've known Danielle for quite a while as well. And they're actually engaged. They're going to get married right here in this church.
Yay!
So that is, when is that?
April 25th.
April 25th. Do you want to say anything, Dominic? Danielle? Anything? Yeah, they go to DC3 as well. And they were just at Michael's meeting on Wednesday in the desert. So we love you guys, and good times coming up. Hey, well, we are here. We did it. Give your neighbor one more elbow bump and say, I'm proud of you for coming. again, I know Justin said it, but there is, we don't want to have fear, but at the same time, we want to be wise, and so we are cleaning this place. We disinfected it the other day. We're going to just spray things down, wipe things down, so if there's a couple people that could help me afterwards, we just want to be proactive, and that's not fear, it's just being wise. And so we also have sanitizers put around the church, so if you want to get a little squeeze. That'll be our new anointing oil moving forward. So, and my eyes are burning. I don't know what's going on. It's the anointing, brother. So we just want to be wise. So if you can help afterwards, that would be great. But turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Mark. And as you're turning there, I'm going to read two important scriptures before that. Just, I think they just need to be read. But we're going to hang out in Mark, so you can go ahead and get your place ready in Mark chapter 4. And Father, we just thank you for today once again. I thank you so much, God, that you're here. You're moving, God. I thank you for every single person in this place, in our region. I thank you, Father, Lord. This has been marked as a day of prayer. And so, Lord, we consecrate this day to you. We submit our hearts to you, Lord. We resist the devil, and he must flee, as it says in James. We submit our hearts to you. We submit to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're here, you're moving, you're working. We thank you for your grace and for your anointing in this house, Lord Jesus. And God, I just pray that you would just touch us, move in this house, God, with grace, move in this house with life, with love, with light. And God, I just pray, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Two quick scriptures that I think we just need deep down in our spirits. The first one is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6, actually start verse 5. When I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. A sound mind is good judgment. Yeah. And good judgment is, we're not seeing a lot of great judgment in the earth today, especially in grocery stores. Like, I just want toilet paper. Is that too much to ask for? Sanitizer, toilet paper, antibacterial soap, it's gone out of Inyo-Imono County, basically. And good judgment. Patrick, yeah, Patrick's got the end, you know.
He's got the end.
First James, First James, that's not a book, so don't go there. First John.
First James.
First John says in chapter 4, 17 and 18, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love will always cast out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. There is no fear in love. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what God's given us. And there's no fear in that. And so we need to come against the spirit of fear that it's just roaring and just going crazy in our culture right now. And so I just want to speak a quick message that the Lord's just given me. I felt those were two important scriptures just to kind of get out there, get in our spirit, remind ourselves. But in Mark chapter 4, I want to read this, and I hope that you would be blessed and that kind of gives you some ammunition. But I want to talk about being fearless, because it's, I mean, this is just a crazy time to live in, but it's also a super exciting time. I got such a peace and such an excitement in my spirit right now because God is on the move.
Yes, he is.
And the prophetic word shall come to pass. And there was a prophetic word by Bob Jones that revival would take place once the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I believe it. And the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and there were all these things that happened. And now, you know, the whole world is shutting down. And so people are like, oh, I guess that was a false prophecy. No, it's just a little bit of resistance. And breakthrough is coming.
Yes.
Revival is coming. Reformation is coming like we've never seen before. And so, but the church has to rise up. And and so I was just really getting ministered to from this scripture in Mark chapter 4. And it starts in verse 35. And it says this: on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other boats were there also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. Say, peace be still.
Peace be still.
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who is this, that even the wind and the sea would obey him? And I just was reading this, and something just stood out to me that I think maybe Jesus would speak to our culture and speak to our nation and speak to the church. Never mind the world, but the church. I think Jesus, if he was standing in front of the church, he would say this: why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? I think this is what Jesus was speaking to me. Mike, why are you afraid? Because the virus, there's a virus that's roaring and running rampant in our society, in the nations, in China, they're shutting down India, they've shut down Mongolia, they've shut down Italy, they're shutting down France. I mean, it's going all over the world. They've shut down Mammoth Mountain. No sports. I saw a funny joke on the internet, and you know, there's been absolutely no sports for 3 days. And a guy was clicking the channels, and there's no sports. And then he looked at on this couch, and he's like, oh, there's a strange woman on my couch. She says she's my wife. She's really nice, too. But everything is shutting down. But the real virus is not the coronavirus. The real virus is fear. And fear is a plague. Fear is a powerful force, and faith is a powerful force, but fear is a powerful force. And if we agree with fear, it will bind us, It'll do everything that 1 John said.
Yep.
It will enslave us.
Right.
And so Jesus, he stands to these disciples. He says to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? They've seen miracles. They've seen food be multiplied when there was just two fish and a loaf of bread. They've seen it all. They've seen demons get cast out of people, the dead raised at this point. They've seen a lot. And now he's saying, why are you so afraid? Well, the reason they were afraid is because why? They thought they were going to die. The wind was just going crazy. Everything just doesn't seem like it is supposed to be. And they are afraid for their life. And I think there's a lot of fear right now for our lives. That's why people are staying home. That's why churches are shutting down and schools are shutting down. I think ultimately we're afraid for our life, just like these disciples. And when we are operating out of fear, we begin to make bad choices. We begin to make bad decisions, right, for our life and for our well-being. Not that you don't protect yourself, not that you don't protect your family, but make decisions out of faith and not out of fear.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And so he speaks to them, why are you afraid? And they were like, they're probably mad. They're mad at Jesus because he's just sleeping. Like the storm is raging. The same storm that is raging for the disciples is the same storm that's raging for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's two different responses here.
Mm-hmm.
I love this contrast that the disciples are like pulling their hair out. Oh my gosh, like, we need toilet paper. I need sanitizer. Oh my gosh, I need a lifeboat. Jesus, help me. There's no lifeboat, Jesus. Yeah, you did this to me. And Jesus is like, just give me five. You know, I'll be up in a second. You know, I just need a cap nap, you know. And he's resting because why? There's peace on the inside.
Yes.
And if there's true and inner peace on the inside, then you can sleep through the storm. And it's funny because he stands up and now the peace that was on the inside of him comes out of him and calms the storm. The disciples couldn't calm the storm because there was an inner storm in them. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of life. I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of sinking. I'm afraid of all these things. But then peace came out of Jesus, calms the storm. And I just think that God wants us to get to a place in our life personally where we have peace, an inner peace, an inner faith, an inner confidence. And to live with fearless, totally fearless. And I know there's just some of our amazing people that are watching online. We love you. You're amazing. You're more than a conqueror. And I just pray that every person that's watching right now would just be so full of faith.
Yes.
Would just that faith would just be injected into your spirit and heart right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. But I want to give you a couple things. This won't be a long message, and we're going to pray together. It'll be an interactive message today. But five quick things that I kind of gleaned from this story that will help us to live fearless lives. Because I want to live fearless, and I think this is the church's greatest hour. I think we're presented with something that is so beautiful that many times churches will shrink back and not take advantage of the opportunity that's been presented to us.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
This could be a beautiful moment. This could be the set the stage for an amazing revival.
Uh-huh.
If we would lean into it instead of get scared like the disciples did.
Right.
And we're going to talk about what that kind of means. But the first thing that I think that is crucially important that I gleaned from this story in living a fearless life in America, in Crowley Lake, in Mammoth, wherever we are, living a fearless life. Remember this one principle. He's on your boat.
Yeah. That's good.
That the presence of God is with you wherever you go. That alone should calm your fears. That alone should just set everything at peace. That he's in my boat, no matter how scary it seems right now, no matter how afraid, no matter how tormented I feel, I can't go into the grocery store. You know, I'm in Vons yesterday and there's like 100 people from LA, and it's like, I don't live in fear, but the thought goes through your mind. You're like, oh, I don't want to rub up against that person. Or, you know, all these things start going through your mind and your emotions and your soul. Why? Because the media is infiltrating. And we're hearing bad news and bad news and bad news, and we begin to meditate on this. But what I want to remind you is to meditate on this. He's with you. His presence is with you. His presence is with me. I don't have to fear. He's in my boat. Whether you hear his voice speaking, whether you hear anything, just remember this. He's with you. He's in your car. He's in your home. He's in your marriage. He's in your business. He's wherever you go. He is with you day and night, night and day. Amen? That is a key principle to living a fearless life, knowing that the creator of the universe is with you. He's in my boat. Say, he's in my boat. Give an elbow bump. Say, he's in my boat. Come on, he's in us. Amen. The next thing is, you know, these disciples were, and you see this throughout the Gospels. It's so funny. Like they talk themselves into a frenzy. And they just talk. And, is it a ghost? Oh, it's a ghost. I'm afraid. Are you afraid? I'm afraid. How could he do this? I'm afraid. You know, I think a lot of times in my life and in our life, we start listening to the wrong voices.
Yes, we do.
We listen to our friends, and we love our friends, but sometimes they're partnering with the wrong spirit. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're feeling rejected. Maybe they're feeling traumatized, and so they slime us with these certain things, and that's what's happening in our culture. And you're like, oh, I've just been totally slimed, and then you don't shake it off, and then that you begin to believe the slime. And that's what's happening with our media. We begin to listen to all the news, and it's, and if you just listen to the news 24 hours a day, I mean, you feel like the world's going to end tomorrow. I was joking with Patrick and Justin. I'm like, hey, I got a great song for your worship set. It was just totally a joke. But I'm like, there's this song from the 90s from high school that keeps going through my head right now. REM, it's the end of the world, right? It's the end of the world as we know it. It's a joke. It's totally a joke. But this is how the world reacts. This is how the world is acting. It's the end. Shut down everything. Shut down society. Stop living. Don't listen. Stay inside. Social distancing. We got to listen to the right voices. You know, I mean, you've probably heard most of my stories. I'll just share a little bit of this one. But we were in Reading, and I was watching the news. And this is the power of news. I was watching the news, and it was late at night, and I couldn't go to sleep. And so I'm just watching the news for a while. And there was a bunch of burglaries happening in the area. And so I'm just watching, and I just kind of keep feeding my heart and my spirit with all this bad news that's going on, and all the crime and all the burglaries and the shooting. And it's 11:30 at night, and I'm like, why am I watching the news? I'm like, I'm still awake. Maybe I had too much coffee, and I'll just keep watching this. So I go to bed by like midnight after just totally listening and listening and listening to break-ins, burglaries, murder, shooting. Do, 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 do. You know, whatever show that was, I forgot, what was that? One of those cop shows. And I totally get sucked into this thing. I try to go to bed at midnight, and you know, guess what? I can't go to bed. Because now I start hearing all these little things, and I'm like, I think somebody's breaking into our house. Oh my gosh, like I think, and you, then your mind starts playing tricks on you, and the enemy starts playing tricks on you. I totally heard our doorknob just jiggle down. And so I go downstairs, and I got my bat, you know, and I'm looking out the window. There's nothing. There's nothing. And I go back in my bed, and all of a sudden I see like a helicopter, you know, out the window, but it's in a far distance. There's a helicopter with a spotlight. I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're in the neighborhood. And now it's like 1 o'clock. I can't go to sleep. And I'm just sitting there in my room. My wife's just sleeping like a baby. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's somebody's gonna break in. And so I take my dresser and I move the dresser in front of my door. I move the dresser in front of our bedroom door, and I have my bat, and I'm sitting on the floor with my baseball bat with the dresser in front of the door, and I'm like, oh, this, if he comes in, he's gonna get it, you know? And this is going on for an hour. It's 2:00 in the morning. I'm getting so tired, and she's just sleeping, and I'm like, and all of a sudden it hits me. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? What did I just partner with? I've been terrorized and tormented for 3 hours thinking somebody was going to break into our little apartment townhouse that, you know, if they're going to break into something, wouldn't they break into like a nice big home or something? I'm going to go for that little apartment. Yeah, right. But nothing, not, there's nobody there. But that is the power of media. That's the power of bad news. That's the power of fear. The wrong voices can create a lot of turmoil.
I was feeling sorry for myself the other day, really bad. I just got to tell you this because it's funny.
Okay.
And I'm talking to the Lord. I'm saying, Lord, I got to go down south and I'm working and I'm just doing all this stuff. I'm just feeling sorry for myself. And all of a sudden, I'm just driving along and I hear this voice. And I know it's the Lord. And he goes, no.
All right. That's awesome. That's the truth, you know. So we get ourselves in a little frenzy, and that's exactly, I've done it 100 times, you know. I wish I could say that was my only story where I listened to lies and I operated in fear, but I think there's been probably 100 or maybe 1,000 times in my life where I've given ear to the news a little bit too much, to people that had a wrong heart, a wrong spirit at that particular moment. Maybe they are slandering somebody or gossiping about somebody or something, or you know, or just, you know, having a wrong motive or just operating out of fear. And then you hang around them, you buddy-buddy with them, and you're like, I'm afraid now. I don't know why I'm afraid. It rubs off on you. So stop listening to the negative voices. Stop listening to the wrong voices. Say, stop listening to the wrong voices.
Stop listening.
I just want to be practical. Remember that this is so simple. America, let's simplify things. Mission, simplify. Remember his presence is with you.
Yep.
Stop listening to the wrong voices.
Yes. Amen.
And number three, listen to his voice.
Yes.
Cling to his voice. Cling to his word. You're like, I don't hear his voice. I start with the word of God.
Yes.
Just eat the word. Yep. Eat the word. Eat the word. Get in the word day and night. Just read it and read it and read it. And then truth begins to kick out every lie that we're believing.
Amen.
That's why I'm not afraid right now. I'm not afraid of the coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
At all. There's not one bit of fear in me over this thing. Like, not because I'm special, not because I'm a superhero. I've just saturated my heart in Psalm 91, in the scriptures that talk about protection and shelter and healing and hope. And faith, and that's it. And so I've just been, I want to stop listening to the negative voices, and I want to cling to his voice.
Yes.
And as we do this, there's something that is really powerful that happens. That the eyes of our spirit open.
Mm-hmm.
And I got another scripture for you. It's in 2 Kings. I love this story, and we've been in Kings, and we're talking about Elijah, and we took a little detour out of Elijah's life because I just thought it was important to address everything that's happening right now, and then we'll take a few minutes to pray. But I love this story in 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm just going to read a couple verses, and it says, starting in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" This is Elisha speaking to him. Elisha says, "Do not fear. For those that are with us are more than those that are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Come on.
Right.
See, when we begin to cling to the truth, when we begin to cling to his voice, you get in prayer, you get in his word, you get around the right people, the eyes of your spirit begin to open. And you begin to see this thing for what it is.
Yep.
You begin to see this big mess for what it is. And that's exactly what happened to John G. Lake in Africa. I shared a little bit of this last week, but the bubonic plague was ripping through South Africa, killing thousands and thousands. This wasn't no coronavirus. This was the bubonic plague, leaving a nation half dead. And he prayed and he fasted and his eyes were opened in the spirit and he began to see the demons that were all over this nation and all over people's backs. His eyes were opened in the spirit. And then God says, "I want you to walk towards them and rebuke them." And he begins to walk towards these demons and they flee. And the next day the bubonic plague was completely broken off the nation.
Amen.
It's historical. It's a historical fact. It's amazing. That is faith. I believe it only takes a couple people in this nation that would just say, "I believe." We don't have to be a mega church to push a plague back. We just have to be a person that believes. God, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is searching throughout the earth for someone that believes, for someone with a yes. For someone that says, "I will lean into this. I will believe the counsel of God. I will lean into the full counsel of God. I will lean into the promises of God. I say yes and amen to protection. I say yes and amen to America's destiny."
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We do not have to look at our natural situation with our natural eyes. But we will if we're not in prayer. And we will if we're not in the Bible.
Yep.
And we will. We'll look at it through the natural eyes. And with your natural eyes, you're like, "Duh, this is scary. No sports. That's scary. No hockey. Come on, that's messed up. No basketball." I'm just making light of it. You got to just joke. I think it's good to just to be able to laugh. And
yes.
Laughter is medicine. But if you only looked with your natural eyes, you would be afraid. But I'm so glad that we don't have to do that, that we can pray, we can get in God's word, and we can just begin to see with the eyes of the Spirit and have no fear and know that there is a company of angels around America, around the nations, around India, around Mongolia, around China, around Wuhan, around Church on the Mountain. There is a company of dispatched angels right now, warring angels, ministering angels, worshiping angels. There is a company just like Elisha and the servant saw. See, the servant was scared. He was afraid. What do we do? And he says, "I'll tell you what to do. We don't be afraid." Open his eyes. And he's like, "Whoa, come on. This is amazing. It's like 3D. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do not be afraid." This is a really simple message. Remember his presence. Stop listening to the wrong voices. Cling to his voice. Hallelujah. Number four. This is good. And Patrick, you can come up. It'll be a little different today. We'll end in the next 10, 15 minutes. Don't worry. But the fourth thing is this. Thank him for his love and his protection.
Yes.
Thank him for his love and his protection. And I want to read a little bit of If you don't know what that looks like, if you don't know what that means, to me, I always go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. So the person that prays, the person that is connected relationally to the Father, will be protected, will be under the shadow of the Almighty. See, sometimes you've got to pray the Scriptures. You actually have to open your Bible and you have to pray this out. You have to go verse by verse and you got to pray this over your life. You're like, I don't even know what to pray right now. Pray this verse by verse over America, over your family, over your kids, verse by verse. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge.
Yes.
God, You're my refuge. Everything looks like it's falling apart. Our economy in the natural with my naked eye, it looks like it's falling apart. But You are my refuge.
Yes.
You're my fortress, God. You're the only one I could place my trust in. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. It's like a plague,
yep.
A virus.
Yep.
He will deliver you from the virus. He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings. Such a beautiful picture of a mama bird. Under His wings you will take refuge. Have you ever seen a bird that with his little ducklings? And the little ducks or the little birds go under mama's wings and they have protection. And the mama bird's feeding them and the mama bird is protecting them from the elements, the outside elements. God's saying, I will protect you under my wings. Father, I thank You that there is great shelter in You. There is great refuge in You. His truth shall be your shield. His truth is my shield. His truth is my buckler. Hallelujah. Your truth is my shield. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Say that. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You don't have to repeat me anymore. 1,000 may fall at my right side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me.
Amen.
Say that. You got to say that to yourself when you're praying.
Amen.
It's not going to come near me. It's not going to come near me. Or my family, or my church,
right.
Or my city, it's not going to come near me. Why? Either this is the truth, or it's not.
Right.
Either this is absolute truth, or it's not. And I believe with every fiber of my being,
hallelujah,
this is absolute truth.
Right.
And if it's absolute truth, that means we can stand on absolute truth. We can hold God to absolute truth.
Yes.
And His promises are always yes and amen. Because this part is beautiful. Because You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, Your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. God, I was just praying that the other day. And God just reminded me. And I want Him to remind you of this today too. Because You have made the Lord who is, this is David, because You've made the Lord who is my refuge, the Most High, Your dwelling place. No thing will come against You. Because You have made the Most High God Your refuge. Because You today at Church of the Mountain, You love the Lord with all Your heart, with all Your soul, with all Your strength. You have poured Your heart into the Father. You've poured Your heart into this thing.
Amen.
You've poured Your everything into this thing. And God's saying, because You've put me first. Because I'm your refuge. Because I'm your shelter. Because I'm your dwelling place. No evil thing, no plague shall come near your dwelling. Nothing's going to touch you today. Let that promise sink into your spirit. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Come on, you got to just picture yourself treading upon the lion and the cobra. Break the lion's mouth in two, like David. Snakes spit venom. Snakes bring poison. They bring lies. You take the head off the snake. Hallelujah. Tread upon the lion and the cobra under your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. Thank you, God, that you're delivering us. I will set him on high. High on a mountain, aerial view, aerial perspective, because he has known my name. There's these people in this church and watching online. You know his name. You will call upon me and I will answer you. This is so good. I will be with you in trouble. I'll deliver you and I'll honor you with long life and I'll satisfy you and I'll show you my salvation. Come on. It doesn't get any better than that. And either this is truth, either everything in Psalm 91 is 100% true, or it's a big fat lie. And I've seen it to be true in the nations. I've seen it to be true personally. I've seen it to be true in this house. Let it be true. Let it ring true. And let the truth come out of this house and into our communities. Amen? And my last point, we're going to wrap up. But this is, I think, the most important part. I think the thing to realize and remember is there's a purpose. See, many times we get our eyes on the storm, we get our eyes on this turmoil, and whatever maybe there's something personal going on in your life. Maybe it's the marriage, maybe it's the kids, maybe it's your bills. But in this situation, it's this virus that's this plague of fear that is infiltrating. And we can get our eyes on the storm and we can lose track of what really matters. The purpose of the storm. His purpose in the storm.
Amen.
And as I read this story of Jesus in the boat where he's sleeping in the boat, the purpose was, why are you afraid? Why don't you have faith right now? Because we're not staying here. We're not camping out. We're not building a campfire here and singing kumbaya in the middle of our storm. We're moving on. We're moving on to go to that island over there, to go to that location, because there is a demon-possessed man. There is somebody that needs freedom. If you continue to read the story, it talks about the demon-possessed man that was totally delivered that they went to. You see, the purpose was, we're not hanging out in the storm. We're going to get through the storm. We're going to get through our fear to get to the person. And I think right now our world is afraid. I posted this online, but I think it's so potent and powerful by A.W. Tozer. He said, a scared world needs a fearless church. The world is scared right now. The world is going crazy. Is the church going to go crazy? Is the church going to shrink back and be totally afraid and paralyzed and traumatized with fear? I don't believe so. I believe this is the church's greatest hour.
Amen.
I believe we're going to rise up and be such a witness and be such a light. You know, I remember 9/11, when 9/11 happened, and the world again, there's these moments in time where the whole nation is traumatized. The whole nation is in shock. The whole nation is like, what do I do? Is there a God? I remember, Dominic, you were there. Many of us, we would go to all these malls and these places down in Orange County, and it was so easy to witness to people. It was so easy to just share the gospel with Muslims and to share the gospel with the broken and the hurting and the dying and the wounded and the sick and the oppressed. It was so easy. Their hearts were open in a moment of time. And I believe we have a moment of time where we can get through the storm, get through the fear, and get to the island. What's the island? The island is the person. The island is people. It's the people that have lost their jobs in Mammoth. How do we get to them? All those that are freaking out because they don't know what to do for the next 2 or 3 weeks because I don't know what to do with my kids. The schools are shut down. There's no child care. Child cares are shut down. Work is shut down. What do we do? And then there's the people that still have to work but don't know what to do with their children. There's nobody to watch their kids. How can we come in and be a remedy? How can we come in and be light? How can we come in and be the answer? And be the church. I don't want to talk about answers. I want to bring the answer.
Amen.
I want to be the answer. This is who we are. This church is, we are positioned and we're set on the mountain for such a time as this. For such a time as this. We're set in this nation for such a time as this. Nobody's shutting us down. We're not 250. Right now the order is 250 or more has to disperse because of large groups, right? So we're not at 250 yet, you know. Maybe next week we will be. Amen. But I don't want to live in fear. I want to live with Psalm 91 tattooed on my heart. He's my refuge. I want to also live with wisdom. I want to honor those that are, you know, could possibly have conditions. Exactly. What did I say? Consisting. You know what I mean. They have some conditions. And I don't want to, you know, because there's a lot of older people in our communities that are freaking out. And I don't want to just treat that like it's no big deal. I don't want to make light of it. But I don't want to come under that either. We're almost done. Maybe you can sing that song, the blessing song, and we'll close with that in just a moment. But here are these disciples, and we're wrapping up. These disciples were afraid in the boat, and I feel like we're as a nation, as communities, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that people are pretty afraid. You step in. I mean, the spirit of fear. Just in Vons yesterday, I could feel it, and you could come under it, and you're like, oh, like this is, it's heavy. I don't want to be in here right now because I can, it's weighing on my shoulders right now. And people are just panicking, and I need a Lysol. I need some wipes, bleach, you know, and this fear is just moving and moving and moving. But I want to say, remember that He's in your boat. He's in your boat. Don't listen to the negative voices.
Amen.
Listen to His voice. Cling to His word. Thank you, God. Thank Him for His love and His protection. Psalm 91. And remember that you're going through the storm for a purpose. And God never promised us that the storm won't rock you. He never promised that the storm won't rock you. He didn't promise that your boat might not take a little water on. But He did promise that it won't sink you. And so this isn't going to sink our nation. This isn't going to sink the economy. This isn't going to sink Mammoth Mountain. This isn't going to sink the church. The church is going to rise up and shine with the light and the love of Jesus. Amen. We are in the storm with His presence, and we are in the storm for a purpose. Come on. Expectancy. I'm excited to be alive. I'm excited to bring revival into the earth. I'm excited to partner with Reformation in America for such a time as this. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Let's join the Great Commission. Let's do what we can do. Let's be a light. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace on our lives. I thank you for Psalm 91 in action, personally, first personally. And right now we come together corporately, and the president has declared that today, Sunday, would be a national day of prayer. And so we corporately come together and we command, we ask and we command this virus to end, to dissipate in the name of Jesus. We come together and we say no more. No more. It dries up. It dies. It goes back to the place it came from in the name of Jesus. We apply the blood just as those in Exodus. Every family that applied the blood on the house did not get touched. Every home that applied the blood, no plague, no virus, nothing came near their dwelling. And so we apply the blood to our hearts and we say no fear. The virus of fear will not infiltrate. Because the enemy is at work. You got to see this. Fear comes from the pit of hell. Fear is the opposite of faith. It is the opposite of love. And the enemy wants to infiltrate our culture and our society with fear, because fear opens us up to sickness. Fear breaks down your immune system. Fear breaks down your social circles. Fear breaks down societies. And so this is a plan of the enemy. And so we just say no more in Jesus' name. God, protect this nation. Protect those that are close to the virus in Washington and other parts of our state and other parts of our country. Protect them, God, with a shield of protection. Bring healing, God, the healing balm of Gilead. Bring your healing, bring your deliverance, swift deliverance, Father. Swift deliverance, God. Let there be a turning in this nation. Let there be a turning, God, today. Let something mark today being the day that this changes. God, we ask, we ask, we ask. We thank you. We love you, Jesus. And Lord, we will do our part to not partner with a spirit of fear. We will do our part to remember that you're in our boat. Your presence is always with us. We'll do our part to have a heart of thankfulness. We'll do our part to not listen to the wrong voices. We'll do our part to reach the lost, the broken, the hurting with a solution. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. I want to sing this song. I feel it's prophetic. I feel it's a song for this time and this hour. Actually, it was written just 2 weeks ago. Or a week and a half ago, actually, by Carrie Jobe and a bunch at a church in North Carolina. I just forgot the name of it. Elevation, Stephen Furtick's church. They wrote this song in the face of everything that we're going through right now. And so it is a declaration of health. It is a declaration of blessing. It's a declaration of blessing and protection over your family, over your life personally, over your children's children. And so let's just sing this together corporately as we go. And I know the Lord is with you. And may the Lord be with you and lay his face shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Ah. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations of your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children.
Prophetically, you know, Jesus, who was full of peace, stood on the stern of the boat and he said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And I just want us to do this prophetically over our nation, over our communities, over this church. Prophetically, right now, in faith, peace, be still. And then we're going to sing that line one more time. But on the count of three, I want us all to say this together. With faith, I want you to picture it in your mind. The world, this nation, this state, Valley, Bishop, Mammoth Mountain, the workers that have lost their jobs. I want you to speak this. And there's going to be a calming. Rebuke the wind. That's right. And so let's do that on the count of three. I want us to rebuke the wind, rebuke this thing, rebuke the virus, and say, "Peace, be still." On the count of three. One, in your own voice. We're all just going to lift our voices. One, two, three. Us at the same time. I want you to say that. Peace be still. Again, peace be still. Again, peace be still. Again, peace be still to your heart. Peace be still to our community. Peace be still to the mountain. Peace be still to our state. Peace be still to our government. Peace be still. Come on. To the world, peace be still. We're not afraid. In the name of Jesus, we decree it, we believe it. Father, we receive it, and we thank you, God, that you're with us. And greater that is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We love you, Jesus. Bless us. Let your face shine upon us. Be with us as we go into our communities, God. As we be a light. As we be hope for the hopeless. As we be faith for the faithless. Strength for those that have no strength. We love you, Lord. Let this be the church's greatest hour. Around the world, let this be the church's greatest hour of unity.
Let this be the church's greatest hour of faith. Let this be the church's greatest hour of revival and reformation. Let this go down in the history books. Let this go down in the history books as the church's greatest hour. We thank you, God. We love you with all our heart. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Sorry for keeping you so long. We love you. God bless you. Wash your hands. Bump elbows. Be a light in darkness. Amen.